I close my eyes, let my head fall back, and absorb the rhythmic movements of his hands, but all too soon he's positioning me under the shower to rinse away the suds.
"What the fuck are they?"
he splutters.
"What?"
I turn to find out what he's talking about and catch a glimpse of a shocked expression as he grabs me, turning me so my back is to him again.
"Them?"
I look over my shoulder, finding him gawking at my bum and the faded bruises from my little jaunt in the back of Margot.
"I fell over in the back of Margot."
"What?" he snaps impatiently. "I was holding up the cake in the back of Margot," I remind him. "I got chucked about a bit."
"A bit?"
he gasps, running his palm across my bum.
"Ava, you look like you've been used as a rugby ball."
I laugh. "It doesn't hurt."
"No more cake propping," he demands. "I mean it."
"You're overreacting." He grumbles some inaudible words and kneels, planting his soft lips on each of my cheeks. I close my eyes and sigh.
"I'll be having a word with Kate too,"
he adds, and I highly suspect he will. Standing again, he turns me back around to face him, sweeping the water from my face. I open my eyes, finding him staring down at me, his face expressionless, but his eyes telling a different story. He's mad because of a few bruises. He leans down and rests his lips on my collarbone before running his tongue up my neck and clamping his teeth on my earlobe, tugging gently. His hot breath in my ear has me shuddering. Bloody hell, I could go again. "Later," he whispers, and I moan in disappointment. I can't get enough of him.
"Out,"
he demands, turning me and clenching my waist from behind to guide me from the shower. I stand quietly, letting him run the towel all over my body and through my hair to soak up the excess water. He's being so attentive and caring. I like it. In fact, I like it way too much.
"All done."
He wraps the towel around his waist without drying himself. The temptation to lean up and lick off the beads of water that are dripping over his shoulders is impossible to resist, but my hand is grasped and I'm pulled back into the bedroom before I can follow through on my intent. I look around the room for my dress, returning to Jesse when I don't see it. I drool, watching him pull on some jeans.
"No boxers?"
I ask. He tucks himself in and gingerly zips himself up on a dark grin.
"No, I don't want any unnecessary obstructions."
His tone is suggestive and very confident. I frown.
"Obstructions?"
A crisp white t-shirt is pulled over his wet hair and down his rippling abdominals. I'm gawping.
"Yes, obstructions,"
he confirms in a low husk. He strides over to my naked form and wraps his palm around my nape to pull my face close to his.
"Get ready,"
he whispers, pressing his lips hard on mine. "Where's my dress?" I ask against his lips. He releases me.
"I don't know,"
he says dismissively, casually striding out of the room.
"What?"
"He must have taken it off, because I was in no fit state to coordinate a strip." I go into the bathroom to get my underwear. At least I know where that is.
"No, I don't. My bra and knickers are gone."
"Okay, he's playing games." I go to his walk-in wardrobe and find what I expect to be the most expensive shirt on the rail and slip it on before making my way downstairs, finding him in the kitchen. He's sitting at the island, dipping his finger in a jar of peanut butter. My nose wrinkles in distaste. His smile dazzles me as he looks up, his lips wrapped around a peanut butter-covered finger.
"Come here," he orders. I stand in the archway, naked except for a white dress shirt, and frown at him. No, I decline, watching as his smile dulls into a straight line. Come here, he punctuates the word slowly. Tell me where my dress is, I challenge. He narrows his eyes on me and places his jar of peanut butter calmly and precisely on the work surface. Those cogs are working hard again, and his finger is tapping ferociously on the counter as he stares me down. You have 3 seconds, he declares, his voice dark, his face straight. I raise my eyebrows. 3 seconds for what? To get your ass over here. It's that fierce tone. 3. My eyes widen. Is he serious? What happens if you make it to 0? Do you want to find out? He remains completely impassive. 2. Do I want to find out? Fucking hell, he's not giving me much time to run this over. 1. Shit! I bolt towards his outstretched arms, colliding against his hard body. There was no mistaking the dark look of satisfaction I got a glimpse of before my head was buried in his neck. I don't even know what happens on 0, but I do know how much I love his arms around me, so it's a no-brainer, really. As my face nuzzles between his pecs, and I trace my fingers over his back, I can hear his heartbeat slow and steady under my ear. He exhales and stands, placing me on the island, working his way between my thighs. He rests his palms on the tops of my legs. I like your shirt. He skates his palms over my thighs. Is it expensive? I ask on a pout. Very. He smirks. He knows my game. What do you remember about last night? What do I remember? I was ridiculously drunk, shockingly brazen on the dance floor, and I admitted to myself that I'm in love with him. He doesn't need to know the last revelation. You're a good dancer, I say instead. What can I say? I'm a sucker for JT. He shrugs it off swiftly. What else do you remember? Why? I ask on a frown. He sighs. Do you remember seeing your ex? Yes, I confirm, not relishing the reminder. Do you remember my request? Yes. There's little point in challenging him. I don't want to see Matt. And at what point do you draw a blank? I don't remember getting home, if that's what you're getting at. I do realize I was stupidly drunk and highly irresponsible. You don't remember anything after the bar? No, I admit. That's never happened to me before. That's a shame. His green eyes search mine for something. I've no clue what. He leans down, kissing me tenderly on the lips, smoothing his palms over my face. How old are you? I ask, as I look him straight in the eye. He dips his lips to mine again, coaxing them open and slowly swirling his tongue around my mouth before biting my bottom lip and tugging gently. 26, he whispers, planting soft, skimming kisses all over my mouth. You missed 25, I mumble, closing my eyes in complete contentment. No, I didn't. You just can't remember asking me. Oh, after the bar? He rubs his nose against mine. Yes, after the bar. He pulls back and runs his thumb across my bottom lip. You feeling better? Yes, but you need to feed me. He laughs, planting a chaste kiss on my lips. Are you making demands? Yes, I say haughtily. Get me my clothes. He narrows his eyes on me, making a play for my hip bone, squeezing it hard and sending me on a jolt across the worktop.
Who has the power, Ava?
What are you talking about? I laugh around his torturous squeezes.
I'm talking about how much easier we'll get along if you accept who holds the power.
Oh, I can't bear it anymore. You do. He releases me immediately.
Good girl.
He grabs my hair and yanks me forward, landing me with a hard, forceful kiss.
Don't forget it.
I melt into him, absorbing his so-called power on a long, drawn-out sigh. But all too soon, he leaves me on the worktop and returns a few minutes later with my underwear, dress, shoes, and bag. I scowl at him as I take them.
Don't look at me like that, lady. You won't be wearing that dress again, I can assure you. Put the shirt over it.
He gives the dress a disapproving look before leaving the kitchen to take a call. I laugh to myself. Who holds the power? Me, that's who. I throw my clothes on and rummage through my bag to try and find my contraceptive pills. But after searching my makeup bag and tipping the rest of my bag's contents out, I find no pills.
You ready?
I turn to see Jesse in the archway to the kitchen with his hand held out. 2 seconds. I stuff my things back in my bag and walk over, taking his outstretched hand. His eyebrows rise.
It's a good job Kathy isn't here. You would give her a heart attack in that dress.
Kathy?
My housekeeper.
He looks down at my dress disapprovingly and sets about fastening the buttons of his shirt.
Better,
he concludes on a small, satisfied smile. We exit the elevator, and I'm pulled through the foyer of Luso, Clive doing a double take as we pass.
Morning, Mr. Ward, he greets cheerfully. You look better this morning, Ava.
Jesse nods at Clive, but doesn't slow his long strides. I blush profusely, smiling sweetly as I scuttle along, keeping up with Jesse. I'm bundled into the Aston Martin and driven home at the usual hair-raising speed, while Ian Brown soothes my ears. Chapter 16. Outside Kate's, I let myself out of his car and meet him on the pavement. He looks down at me with those glorious green eyes. I don't want him to go. I want him to take me back to his tower in the sky and hide me there forever, in his bed, with him in it too. I'm a slave to this man. I've been completely and utterly taken. I step forward, pushing into his chest and tilting my head up to him, but he stands casually, with his hands resting lightly in his jeans pockets, his twinkling eyes watching me as I reach up on my tiptoes and brush my lips over his. That's all it takes for him to remove his hands from his pockets and heave me to his chest, plunging his tongue into my mouth, fiercely taking whatever he wants. It's totally fine. He can have it. My arms find their way around his neck, and I absorb it all as he completely consumes me. But he soon pulls away on a long exhale, leaving me breathless and wanting so much more. I turn on my unsteady legs, taking myself up the path to Kate's front door, mind racing, heart beating relentlessly. When I reach the front door, I pivot to watch him drive off, but find him close behind, looking down at me. My brow furrows. What are you doing? I ask.
I'm coming in to wait for you.
Where am I going?
You're coming to work with me,
he replies, like I should know this. He's going to work? Of course, hotels don't close on weekends. But what am I going to do while he's working? Do I care as long as I'm with him? You just kissed me goodbye. A smile plays at the corners of his mouth.
No, Ava, I just kissed you.
He brushes a damp lock of hair from my face. Get ready. Okay. I relent far too easily. There will be no complaints from me. I walk into the lounge, with Jesse in tow, to find Kate and Sam sprawled across the sofa, a tangle of semi-naked arms and legs, eating cornflakes. Neither of them makes any urgent attempt to cover up. Hey, my man! Sam exclaims when he looks up and sees Jesse. Jesse's eyes travel over Sam's half-nakedness, a look of disapproval clear on his face.
How you feeling, Ava? He asks.
Good.
I glance at Kate with a get in my room now look.
I'll be as quick as I can. I leave Jesse in the lounge and retreat to my room, pacing while waiting for Kate. She swans in, looking all roughed up.
Someone looks thoroughly fucked.
She laughs and gives me a mischievous grin that I match with my own.
Don't look at me like that, Kate Matthews.
What's going on with you and Sam?
Adorable, isn't he? She winks. It's just a bit of fun.
I pull Jesse's shirt and my dress over my head, flinging them both to the floor.
Just fun.
Kate rolls her eyes and scoops them up, placing them on my bed before flopping down on my duvet, her red hair fanning around her pale face.
Yep. You're not the only one getting a good seeing to, she says seriously.
I gape at her.
It's written all over your face, Ava.
I'm going to work with Jesse. I grab my dryer to try and salvage the damp mess that is my hair.
Have fun,
I hear her chant as she sashays out of my room. I flip my head upside down and rough dry my hair, ignoring the fact that I'm rushing to get back to Jesse. When I flick my head back up to the mirror, an image of Jesse propped up against my headboard smacks me in the face. His arms are casually braced behind his head. He practically fills my double bed. I flick my dryer off, turning to face green eyes burning holes into me. I want to crawl up that bed and onto him.
Hey, baby.
He looks me up and down.
Hey yourself,
I grin. Comfortable? He bounces himself lightly.
No, I'm only comfortable with one thing under me these days.
His eyebrows raise suggestively. That look and those words have my knees quivering and coils of craving springing into every crevice of my body. I watch as he pushes himself up from my bed and walks slowly over to me, turning me to face my wardrobe. Reaching over one of my shoulders, he flicks through the rails of clothes, pulling out my cream shirt dress.
Put this on, he breathes in my ear. And make sure there's lace underneath it.
I clench my eyes shut and reach forward, taking the hanger from him and moaning when his hand falls down and brushes over my breast, his hips rolling forward into my lower back.
Oh, good Lord! Stop! Be quick!
He slaps my bum lightly and stalks out, leaving me a wobbly mess and holding onto my cream dress for support. Once I'm dressed in what Jesse has chosen, I pull out every handbag I own, searching for my pills, but they're nowhere to be found. I find Kate in the kitchen making tea, still in just a t-shirt.
Have you seen my pills?
I rummage through the junk drawer in the kitchen, housing everything from batteries and phone chargers to lipsticks and nail polish.
Nope.
I slam the drawer on a frown.
I always keep them in my makeup bag.
Problem. I look up, finding Jesse filling the doorway.
I can't find my pills.
Find them later. Come on.
He puts his hand out.
I like your dress,
he says softly, running his gaze up and down me as I walk toward him.
Of course he does. He picked it.
He reaches under the hem to run his forefinger up the inside of my thigh, watching me as my lips clamp together and my hands fly up to his chest. He smirks dirtily and sweeps his finger under my knicker seam, brushing my sex softly. I sigh. "Wet," he whispers, circling me slowly. I could weep with pleasure. "Later." He withdraws his finger and licks it clean. "You have to stop doing that." "Never," he grins, yanking me out of the kitchen. We drive out of the city, toward the Surrey Hills. I catch a glimpse of him every now and then, watching me instead of the road. Each time, he smiles and squeezes my knee, which has had his palm spread on it for most of the journey. "How long have you owned the manor?" I ask. He throws me a curious arched brow and turns down the music. "Since I was 21. "That young?" I blurt, my tone clearly displaying my shock at his answer. He smiles brightly at me. "I inherited the manor from my Uncle Carmichael." "He died?" His smile disappears. "Yes." "I'm so sorry." "Me too," he muses thoughtfully. I reach over and rest my hand on his knee, giving it a little squeeze of comfort. He smiles at me, and I reflect it with my own. "How old are you, Jesse?"
27, he says, completely impassive.
I sigh. "Why won't you tell me how old you are?"
"Because you might think I'm too old for you and run a mile."
"Do you think you're too old for me?" Given what he has done to me, I'm guessing the answer is no, but as it seems like such an issue, it's worth an ask.
"No, I don't."
He keeps his eyes on the road.
"My issue is your issue."
I frown. "I don't have an issue." He turns his handsome face toward me, all smoky-eyed and glorious.
"Then stop asking me."
I scowl my annoyance, but decide to change the subject. "What about your parents?" The straight line his lips form has me immediately regretting the question.
"I don't see them."
I sit back and say no more for the rest of the ride. His contemptuous approach makes me all the more curious, but it also makes me shut my trap. When we pull up at the manor, Jesse flips a switch on the dash, opening the gates. I see Big John getting out of his Range Rover in his usual black suit and wraparound sunglasses. He nods in greeting as I get out of the car and walk around to Jesse's side.
"What's happening, John?"
Jesse asks, taking my hand and leading me up the steps to the manor's entrance. I shiver, thinking about the last time I was here. I never thought I would be back, but here I am. I look up at Jesse as he clasps hands with Big John. He's turned all businesslike.
"It's all good,"
John rumbles, allowing Jesse and me to pass before following us through to the restaurant. For 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning in a hotel, it's surprisingly quiet. Jesse orders breakfast, smiling at me when he confirms they serve my favorite, Eggs Benedict with salmon, and gives instructions for it to be sent to his office with a cappuccino made to my liking, no chocolate or sugar. Then, grabbing my hand, he hauls me through the manor, and as soon as the door to his office has shut, I'm thrust up against the back of it, my dress around my waist. He buries his face straight in my neck, my arms flying up to grip his t-shirt. I'm caught off guard by his ferociousness. Slow prepared build-up or hard, fast pounce, the result is still the same. I'm sucking in short, sharp breaths and ready to beg. The pressure of his body pushing me up against the door increases and his mouth crashes to mine. He bites my lip.
"Are you wet?"
"Yes," I pant, grappling at his T-shirt. I only have to look at him, and I'm turned on. His hands leave my breasts, disappearing south, and I hear the sound of his fly zipper being undone, his no obstruction comment now perfectly clear. My knickers are yanked to the side. I have no time to brace myself for the hard and fast that's coming. He tugs one of my legs up to his waist, positions himself, and slams into me, thrusting me up the door on a loud shout. I scream. "Quiet," he barks. He gives me no time to adjust. He pounds into me repeatedly, punishingly, over and over, sending me skyward in pleasure. I press my lips together to refrain from shouting out, dropping my head onto his shoulder in delirious despair. "Do you feel me, Ava? Lord, give me strength. I think I'm going to pass out." He's working into me like a madman, urgently thrusting and gasping. "Answer the question." "Yes, I feel you." He hammers on, pushing me further and further into a mind-spinning despair. I'm a second from bursting, the one leg I was standing on now off the floor from being pushed up the door. "Does it feel good?" "Oh, God, yes," I scream as all breath leaves my lungs and I'm assaulted by his greedy mouth. "I said quiet." He bites at my lip, the pressure bordering on painful. The blazing fire attacking my core cracks, fizzles and ruptures, pushing me into a fevered bliss as I climax on a loud cry, his mouth capturing my screams as my mind goes blank. I shake uncontrollably against him, but he drives on, shouting on his own explosion, his erection pulsing and jerking as he spills himself deep inside me. Oh, good Lord. My head is spinning wildly. I'm in complete awe of what this man does to me. "I might bring you to work every day," he breathes against my neck as he slowly pulls out of me, letting me slide down the door. "Are you okay?" "Don't let go of me," I mumble into his shoulder. I can't find my balance. He laughs lightly, wrapping his arm around my waist to steady me. I blow my hair out of my face and find his stunning eyes in my field of vision. I smile. "Hi." "She's back." He presses his lips to mine and picks me up, carrying me to the sofa and placing me down before he sets about tucking himself in and refastening his fly. I rearrange my dress and flop back on the sofa, a smile tickling the corners of my lips. The contrast of his persona from wild and demanding to tender and attentive is a real brain burner. But I love both sides. He comes and sits next to me, pulling me onto his lap. "I thought you could go up to the extension and start drafting some ideas."
"You still want me to design?"
"Of course I do."
"I thought you just wanted me for my body,"
I tease, earning myself a flicked nipple. "I want you for a lot more than your body, lady."
At the sound of a knock at the door, I remove myself from his lap, instantly missing the feel of his firm body beneath me.
"Come in," he instructs.
The chap from the restaurant walks in with a tray and places it on the coffee table.
"Thanks, Pete."
"Sir."
He nods at Jesse and flicks a friendly smile in my direction before leaving.
"Eat your eggs, baby,"
Jesse instructs, and I waste no time diving in, passing some to him on a fork when he demands it. Once I've cleared the plate, he smiles and reclaims me, yanking me over to his side of the couch and pinning me under his hulking body.
"I want to devour you, but I have to fucking work."
He hits me with a lasting kiss before growling his frustration as he lifts and collects a pad and pencil from his desk drawer. "I'll head up to the extension."
I remove myself from the couch, batting away his grappling hands on a laugh when I take the pencils and try to pass him.
Kiss me.
I just did.
Don't make me ask again, Ava.
I smile and give him what he's demanded before I'm allowed to leave his office. When I open the office door, Big John is waiting to escort me upstairs. I know where I'm going, John, I offer. He doesn't have to flank me all of the way.
It's all good, girl.
He continues his long strides beside me. When we reach the stained glass window at the bottom of the stairs to the third floor, I glance up the wide staircase. At the top, there's a set of wooden doors with pretty circle symbols carved into the wood. They're closed and quite intimidating, but I'm distracted from the imposing vastness of wood when I hear a door open. I look over the landing, seeing a man walking out of a guest suite doing his fly up. He looks up, catching me staring, and my face flames as I look at John, who's eyeing up the guy, shaking his head menacingly. A wave of worry washes over the guest's face, and I scuttle off through the archway that leads to the extension to try and escape the embarrassing situation. I let myself into the farthest room, and with a lack of furniture, I slide down the wall to my bum. John pokes his head around the door.
Ring Jesse if you need anything, he grunts.
I can go find him.
No, ring Jesse,
he affirms, closing the door, leaving me frowning at nothing. So if I need the toilet, have I got to ring Jesse then? A few hours later, my arse is dead, and I have a rough draft of an amazing bedroom. I flick the pencil over the paper, shading and blending here and there. He said a big bed was essential, and the huge four-poster, positioned in the middle of the room, screams luxury and sensuality. I study the picture, blushing at my own work. Jesus, it's almost erotic. Where has that come from? My line of thought is interrupted when the door opens and I'm presented with Sarah's pouty face. I inwardly groan. The woman is everywhere. Everywhere Jesse is. Ava! What a pleasant surprise! She shuts the door softly behind her before walking into the middle of the room. My unkind thoughts have me wishing she would take a tumble in those ridiculous heels. I really don't like this woman. She brings out my inner bitch better than anyone I've ever known. Pleasant surprise, sure. Sarah, it's nice to see you. I clasp a lock of my hair and start fiddling with it, thinking her red lips look super inflated today. She's definitely had work there. My sitting position, in relation to her standing position, has me feeling inferior to her. I'd get up if my backside wasn't numb, and I could be sure I wouldn't crumble back down to the floor in a heap. Working on a Sunday? She muses as she gazes around the empty room. Do all of your clients get the same special treatment you offer Jesse? No, I smile. Just Jesse. She folds her arms under her ample chest. She's probably had those done too. So what is it about my Jesse that has you giving up your free time to work? My Jesse? I'm not sure what business that is of yours. My hackles rise. Maybe it's his money. I'm not interested in Jesse's wealth, I retaliate shortly. Of course you're not. She wanders over to the window before turning back to face me, her face as cold as her voice. Be warned, Ava. Jesse is not the sort of man you build your dreams on. I stare her straight in the eye, trying to mimic her cold face and tone. It's not hard. It comes naturally with this horrible woman. Thank you for the warning, but I think I'm grown up enough to decide who I build my dreams on. She scoffs mildly. It's in pity, and it makes me feel like crap. little girl, jump out of your fairy tale and open your eyes. The door opens, and Jesse strides in, looking at me slumped on the floor before turning his eyes to Sarah.
All right?
He asks. I recoil on the inside. Why the hell is he asking her? It's me he ought to be asking. I'm even more stunned when she plasters on a ridiculously fake smile and walks over to him, all straight-backed with her chest thrust forward. Yes, sweetie. Ava and I were just discussing the new rooms. She has some fabulous ideas. She rubs his shoulder. I want to pry her fake nails off her fingers. The bloody lying bitch. He's not going to fall for that, surely. The satisfied smile he gives her before turning it on me tells me he has. The blind twat. She's good, he says proudly. He's making me feel like a fucking kid. Yes, very talented, Sarah purrs, smiling slyly at me. I'll leave you to it. She leans up and kisses his cheek. I burn with rage. Ava, it was lovely to see you again. I muster up the decency to smile at the beast. And you, Sarah. She leaves the room, and Jesse and I are alone. What role does that woman play in Jessie's life? She's been here every time I have, and she was at the Luso launch, too. She wants me gone, and there's only one reason she would want that. She wants Jesse. The thought of him being with anyone else makes my heart constrict in pain, makes me want to hurt someone. I've never been the jealous type, nor clingy or needy, but I can feel all these new feelings racing to the surface, swamping my entire being. I'm not comfortable with it. I'm in big trouble here. Big fucking trouble. She said, Jesse isn't the sort of man you build your dreams on. I think I already know that. Let's have a look then, lady. He slides down the wall next to me, reaching over for the pad. Wow. I love that bed. So do I admit sullenly. The enthusiasm for my idea has been sucked right out of me. What's all this? He points to the canopy on the bed. It's a lattice design. All the wooden beams overlap to form a grid-like effect. So you can hang things from them? He looks at me inquisitively. Yes, like material, or lights maybe. I shrug. His mouth forms an O as he grasps my concept. What colours do you have in mind? Black and gold. I love it. He brushes his hand over the drawing. When can we start? Huh? It's only a draft. I have to do some mood boards, scale drawings, lighting plans, that sort of thing. I don't know if I'll be doing any of those things. I've fallen into a deep state of depression after being warned off by Sarah. I've got to seriously rethink what I'm doing here. Will you take me home? His head shoots up, his green eyes laced with concern. Are you okay? I push my numb backside up from the floor, using every ounce of strength I have to plaster a smile as fake as Sarah's onto my face. I'm fine. I've got some work stuff to sort out for tomorrow. I smooth my dress down. Okay. He gets up from the floor with ease and hands me back the pad. Are you sure you're okay? He presses. I maintain my fake smile. I'm fine. Why wouldn't I be? I fight my hand back to my side when it reaches up to grab a piece of hair. He eyes me suspiciously. Come on, then. He takes my bag and fills my empty hand, leading me out of the extension into the main house. As we land in the entrance hall, Jesse glances around nervously. Wait here. I need to get my phone and keys. Actually, go and get in the car. It's open. I frown as he ushers me out of the door before he jogs off toward his office. I take myself down the steps of the manor, across the gravel to the DBS. But before I make it to the car, I hear the laughter of a certain acid-tongued, pouty-faced beast. I tense from top to toe and swivel on the gravel, only to find her standing at the top of the steps with Jessie. Okay, sweetie. See you later. She reaches up and kisses his cheek. I heave. Hope to see you again, Ava, she calls. Her icy stare penetrates me as Jessie approaches and gives me my bag before taking my hand again. I'm put in the car, and as soon as the engine is started, my ears are invaded with Radiohead's Creep. I smile to myself. Yes, why am I here? Chapter 17. I leave Jessie with a chaste kiss and a look of trepidation all over his stunning face. I'll call you. I shut the car door and hurry up the path to Kate's house, and I don't look back, shutting the door swiftly behind me and sagging against it. Hey! Kate appears at the top of the stairs with a towel wrapped around her. You okay? I can't plaster the fake smile on anymore. No. She looks at me with a mixture of confusion and sympathy. Tea? I nod, peeling myself away from the door. I knew this would happen. Not this soon, but this nasty, aching heart business was inevitable. I drag myself up the stairs and collapse in one of the mismatched chairs while Kate makes tea. Has Sam gone? She spoons 3 sugars into her mug, and even though her back is turned away from me, I know she's grinning. Yeah, she says way too casually. Good night? She turns, narrowing her bright blues on me before she grins. The man's an animal! I scoff at her description of Sam. There's a certain someone else I could nail that descriptor to. Good? She pours boiling water into the mugs and adds milk. He's all right, she shrugs. That's enough about me. Why did you leave this morning looking like you'd had a similar night to me and return a few hours later looking like you've been slapped? She takes a seat, handing me my tea. I sigh. I'm not going to see him again. Why? She cries. Because, Kate, without a shadow of a doubt, I'm going to get stung really nastily. He's hazardous. How do you know that? He's a mature businessman, way beyond rich and confident. I'm just a little plaything to him. He'll get bored, toss me away, and move on to someone else. I sigh dejectedly. Trust me, there won't be a shortage of women throwing themselves at his feet. I've seen the reaction he draws. I've experienced it. He's incredibly fierce in the bedroom, and bloody good with it. And that tells me he's not short of sexual conquests. I draw breath while Kate looks at me agape. He's a woman magnet, possibly a womanizer. I'm already getting a reaction from Sarah, the woman I thought was his girlfriend. I slump back in my chair, grabbing my mug of tea. You're not seriously jumping ship because of a few bitchy words from a woman scorned. Tell her to fuck off. No, it's not just that, although I really don't need claws digging in my back. Kate rolls her eyes. My friend, you're blind. No, I'm not. I'm sensible, I defend myself. And why do you like him so much? I don't know, she shrugs. There's just something about him, isn't there? Yes, and it's dangerous. No, it's the way he looks at you, like you're the center of his universe or something. Don't be stupid. I'm the center of his sex life, I correct her, suddenly considering the fact that I could, quite possibly, be one of many women he's showing a good time to. The thought is painful, and another reason to walk away while I'm still partly intact. Who am I kidding? I'm already in pieces, but it's only going to get worse the longer I let this go on.
Ava, you're the master of denial, she scorns me lightly.
I'm not in denial.
Yes, you are, Kate states firmly. You've fallen in love with him. It's easy to see why.
Is it that obvious? I should deny it, but I won't insult Kate's intelligence. I'm going to lie down. I push my chair away from behind my legs, and it scrapes along the wooden floor, making me wince at the piercing sound. The hangover's back with a vengeance.
Okay, Kate sighs.
I leave her in the kitchen to retreat to the sanctuary of my room, flopping on the bed and pulling a pillow over my head. I hate to admit it, but that pouty bitch is right. I can't build my dreams on Jesse Ward, and the thought is like a knife through my splitting heart. I walk into the office for a fresh week, feeling anything but fresh.
Morning, Flower,
Patrick calls from his office. Hi, I try to sound chirpy but fail miserably, throwing my bag by my desk and sitting down to fire up my computer. Within 5 seconds, my desk is screaming in protest as Patrick takes his usual pew.
What's the state of play with Vanderhaus?
I reach under my desk to retrieve the small box of material samples that I abandoned on Friday. These came on Friday, I say, laying some on my desk. He's emailed me the specifics and sent the drawings over. Patrick flicks through the pile of swatches, all in neutral tones of beige and creams, some patterned, some not.
They're a bit boring, aren't they?
He grunts disapprovingly. I don't think so. I pull out a lovely, thick, striped piece. Look. He turns his nose up.
Not my cup of tea.
It doesn't have to be, I remind him. He's not going to be buying a posh apartment in the Life Building. Mr. Vanderhaus is back from Denmark today. He said he would call about a site visit. I'm going to crack on, if you don't mind. Patrick stands, and I perform my usual wince as the desk creaks.
Yes, you carry on.
He eyes me suspiciously.
Tell me to mind my own, if you like. But you don't seem yourself. Is there anything the matter?
No, I'm fine, honestly.
Are you sure?
Yes, Patrick. I try and fail terribly to sound sure. My phone starts jumping around my desk, and Sam Sparrow's black and gold blares around the office. I frown, picking it up to see Jesse's name flashing on the screen. He's been messing with my phone again. My heart flutters, and not in a good way. I can't speak to him. Hearing his voice will knock me back too many steps.
I'll let you get that, Flower. Keep that pretty little chin up. That's an order.
Patrick leaves me as I silence my phone, but no sooner has it stopped, it starts replaying again. I push the button to shut it up, placing it on my desk and throwing myself into some work, finding the email from Michael. It's brief, but there's enough information for me to start compiling my designs. 15 minutes later, my phone is still ringing, and my text alert starts chiming too, but instead of deleting it, which would be the sensible option, I open it.
Answer your phone.
Sam Sparrow starts playing up again, and I silence my phone again. I'm never going to get any work done at this rate. Then there's another text.
Ava, speak to me, please. What have I done?
I put my phone on silent and try to forget about him. What has he done? Nothing, really. But I'm sure if I give him the opportunity, he will. Or will he? Oh, I don't know. But instinct tells me to walk away. Sal, if anyone calls the office, I'm on my mobile, okay?
I know that will probably be his next move.
Okay, Ava.
I start cracking on with my mood boards and drawings for Michael. I've not even seen the apartments yet, but I have a good idea of where I'm going with this, and surprisingly to me, I'm quite excited. I pop to the deli at lunchtime to grab a sandwich, returning to the office to eat it. I'm informed by Sally that a man called while I was out, but he didn't leave a message. Of course, I know who it is. I persistently ignore my phone, except when Michael calls to arrange a meeting for tomorrow. He's stuck in Denmark for the rest of the week, so I'm meeting his PA at the Life Building at 9 in the morning. As 6 o'clock hits, I'm satisfied with my productive day and glad I knuckled down. The day has flown by. I arrive at the Life Building the next morning, bang on time, but in a bit of a fluster after waking late. My rush was a waste of time. Michael's PA is running late, so I sit myself down and take the opportunity to call my mum and check all is well in Newquay. It is, and Dan's arriving on Monday, which lifts my spirits. When I hang up, I gaze down at my phone and finally muster the strength to acknowledge the mass of missed calls and messages, all Jessie, except a message from Kate last night telling me she was staying at Sam's. In my rush this morning, I didn't notice she was missing. I quickly reply, explaining I fell into bed. I can still mentally hear his persistent banging at the door last night as I hid under the covers like a scared child. You must be Miss O'Shea. I look up and see a petite blonde holding her hand out to me. I'm Ingrid. Michael advised you that I would be here, yes? Her Danish accent is very strong. Ingrid, call me Ava, please. I stand and take her hand, shaking it lightly. She looks so fragile. She smiles and nods. Ava, of course. Michael called me yesterday to tell me he's held up in Denmark. Yes, he is. I'll give you the tour. Works are not quite finished, so you'll need to put these on. She hands me a yellow hard hat and high visibility vest. I slip on the safety kit while she presses the button for the elevator. We'll start in the penthouse. It's very similar to the layout of Luso. The elevator arrives and we step inside. You're familiar with Luso, of course. She smiles. Yes, I'm familiar with Luso. I return her friendly smile. More familiar than you know. I snap a lid on my drifting thoughts immediately and start digging through my bag for my file. Here we are. The elevator opens straight into the penthouse. After you, Ava. Thank you. I walk into a vast space, immediately noting the size of this penthouse must be almost exactly the same as the penthouse in Luso. You can see we used oak here. All of the windows and doors are bespoke and made using sustainable wood. I'm sure Michael has advised you on this part of the specification in the email that he sent you. I glance at her, and she must catch my blank expression because she laughs, shaking her head. He didn't mention it in his email. No, I reply, praying that I read it properly and in full. You'll have to forgive him. He's slightly sidetracked with his divorce. Divorce? Oh, is that what's held him up in Denmark? I think it's slightly inappropriate that she told me such a private part of Michael's personal life. Consider me advised, I smile. Over the next few hours, Ingrid walks me through the entire building. I take photographs of the space, making notes en route. Michael and his partner certainly know how to deliver on modern luxury living. The views over Holland Park and the city are incredible. Eventually, we find ourselves back in the main foyer. Thank you for your tour, Ingrid. I remove my fetching hat and vest. You're welcome, Ava. Do you have everything you need? Yes, I'll wait to hear from Michael.
He said he would call you on Monday, she says, as she shakes my hand. We say our goodbyes, and I head back to the office, calling my doctor on the way. I need to replace my pills. I get an appointment for 4 o'clock today, which is a relief. Not that I plan on having much sex any time soon. I've had enough lately to see me through for a while. Afternoon, I sing to Tom and Victoria as I walk into the office. Tom frowns and glances at the clock. Oopsie, I'm late for Mrs. Baines. She'll be having kittens. I'll be back after I've pacified the loopy old bird, he chants, collecting his man bag and dancing out of the office. You okay, Victoria? I ask as I land at my desk. She's daydreaming. Hello, I call. Huh? Oh, sorry. I was miles away. What did you say? Are you okay? She smiles brightly, flicking her blonde locks over her shoulder. I couldn't be better. And why is that? I ask on a raised brow. She giggles like a little girl. I have a date with Drew on Friday night. I knew it, although I still can't wrap my brain around ditzy Victoria and serious Drew. Anywhere nice? She shrugs. He didn't say. He just asked if he could take me out. Her mobile rings, and she excuses herself, just as my own phone chimes the arrival of a text. It's Kate. Just turned our phones on. Was busy. Have you seen Jessie? Busy? Sam and Kate being busy is probably a godsend. No. I don't need to say any more than that, and I hope Kate doesn't find the need to text me back and tell me what I already know. Wishful thinking. Okay, I get the picture. Just so you know, between Sam and I, 30 missed calls, and Sam has spoken to him. Not happy, but at least he knows you're alive now. Smiley face. What does he think could have happened to me? I turn my attention to my computer, silencing my phone again, when it starts blurting black and gold. But after it's shouted at me 3 times on the bounce, I turn the sound off altogether. The man is a persistent pain in the arse. I'm off, Victoria calls, getting up from her desk. I wave goodbye and start filtering through my emails, and then take some copies of drawings to send to my contractors. When it hits 3 o'clock, I go to make the coffee. Ava, I hear Sally call me. I poke my head around the kitchen door, seeing her waving the office phone. A man on the phone for you, but he won't say who he is. My heart jumps into my throat. I know damn well who it is. Is he on hold? Yes. Shall I put him through? No, I yell, and poor nervous Sally flinches. I'm sorry. Tell him I'm out of the office. Oh, okay. She looks all wide-eyed and confused as she pushes a button on the phone that will connect her back to Jessie. I'm sorry, sir, Ava is out of the off. She jumps a meter into the air, dropping the phone onto her desk with a loud clatter. She scrambles to pick it up again. I'm sorry, sir. Poor Sal stutters and stammers all over the place. A good indication that Jessie is yelling down the phone at her. I feel riddled with guilt for putting her through this. Sir, please, I assure you, she's not here. I watch as she freaks out at her desk, looking at me wide-eyed and stunned as she's verbally assaulted by Mr. Neurotic. I smile apologetically. I'll buy her some flowers. The phone is dropped back into the cradle, and she looks at me in shock. Who was that? She's going to cry. Sally, I'm so sorry. I quickly grab the coffees from the kitchen, the only peace offering I can lay my hands on at the moment, and take Sally's to her desk.
She blows out a long, exasperated breath.
Someone needs a cuddle.
She starts giggling.
I'm completely stunned on the spot. I was expecting tears and a nervous breakdown, but instead, dull as a dishwater Sally has just cracked a joke. I look at the mousy plain Jane chuckling, and I start laughing too. A proper bend-over, tears-in-my-eyes, stomach-cramping belly laugh. Sally joins me in my hysteria as we both fall apart all over the office.
What's going on?
Patrick's voice calls from his desk. I wave my hand in the air to him and he rolls his eyes, returning to his computer on an exasperated headshake. I couldn't tell him, even if I was in a fit state to talk. I leave Sally crying and head for the toilet to sort myself out. Oh, that feels so good. I've seen Sally in a whole new light. I like sarcastic Sally. When I've gathered myself together and dabbed my running mascara, I let Patrick know that I'm off for a doctor's appointment. I'm sorry, Sally, I can't look at you, I splutter as I pass her desk and leave the office, hearing her laughing again. I compose myself and make my way to the tube. Chapter 18. After receiving a lecture about carelessness from Dr. Monroe, our lifelong family doctor, I collect my new prescription and head over to the chemist to collect my pills. I get home just before 6, and I'm surprised to find Kate isn't there. I shower, change, and grab my phone from my bag, rolling my eyes at the 20 missed calls. I delete 5 more texts without opening them, knowing it would be a mistake to read them, and enter the kitchen just as my phone starts flashing in my hand. Pulling the fridge door open, I grab some wine and decide some bravery and resilience is required. This is getting stupid. I answer my phone. Hello?
Ava?
He sounds fraught and out of breath.
Jesse?
I take a deep breath of confidence. I can't see you again.
No, Ava, listen to me.
My bravery is short-lived. I hang up, taking deep breaths as I pour my wine, but clatter the bottle against the glass when there's an almighty bang on the front door.
Ava!
I close my eyes, looking for strength. I was tortured last night by his relentless beating of the door. The neighbors will be calling the police.
Ava!
He roars, banging again. Walking calmly through to the lounge, I look out of the blind to see Jesse staring up at the window. He looks frantic, but I'm not answering the door. Being face to face with him will be a huge mistake. I watch as he holds his phone to his ear and mine starts flashing in my hand again, but I reject it and look on as he glances at his mobile in disbelief.
Ava! Answer the fucking door!
No, I whisper, like he might hear me. I nearly have heart failure when I spot Sam pulling up in his Porsche. Kate gets out and approaches Jesse, who's waving his arms around like a loon as Sam joins them on the pavement and rubs his shoulder in a gesture of comfort. They talk for a few moments before Kate leads them up the path to the front door.
Oh, God, Kate!
I stand like a complete lemon in the lounge, hearing the front door swing open, smashing against the wall behind it, and then the stamping of heavy feet flying up the stairs. He crashes through the lounge door, the anger on his face turning to relief before reverting back to pure fury again. His grey suit looks perfectly smooth and unaffected, unlike his dishevelled hair and sweaty brow.
Where the fuck have you been?
He blasts me with his shout, his breath literally breezing past my ears.
I've been pulling my fucking hair out!
I stand staring at him with no idea what to say. Is he under some sort of illusion that I'm answerable to him? Kate and Sam approach behind him, all